Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf, or tomorrow's daf, is Yuvamos Daf Kuf Yotes, the beginning of the 16th parak of Maseches Yuvamos, the 16th and final parak of Maseches Yuvamos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, and on his wife and children, also by Mindy and Henry Olinsky, Luzech and Nishmas, Henry's mother, Rachel Leah Baschayim Asher Cohen, who survived Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, lost her family, but rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh, from Modi'in to Passaic, Bergen County and Lakewood, Nesham Shav and Aliyah, and all of the mitzvahs Ma'asim Tovim of her remarkable family should be a gevaldik zechus for the neshama. Also by Harry and Bridget Schlachter, Lezecher Nishmas, her father, Avraham Menachem Ben Elio, mayor, whose first yard site is on Vav Tammuz, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Also by Misha Feldman, in memory of the fourth yard site of Dana Feldman, his mother, I think, which is on the fourth of Tammuz, for Danya Pesia Bashmuel Yaakov Zev, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. And also by Marty and Debbie Wasserman, in memory of the yard site of Marty's mother, Edith Wasserman, which was yesterday. Okay, so today we're going to begin, as we mentioned, the final parak of Maseches Yevamos, and the Mishnah is going to discuss the halacha of a woman whose husband went to the Medina Siyam, and they didn't have any children, and he died. Do we have to be choshesh that maybe there was a child that was born in Medina Siyam that would pater her from Yibum? So the Gemara is going to discuss that in great detail. To be totally honest, I did not have much time to prepare, so I'm not sure what else the Gemara discusses today, but we'll have to figure it out together. It's been a little bit of a busy time. So let's begin at the top of Daf Kuf Yotes Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Ha'isha Shalach Balav Tzaros L'Medina Siyam. If a woman whose husband and co-wife both went to Medina Siyam, and when they went, there were no children, Uba Uvam L'Am Meis Balech, and then two Edim come, Ba'u, in plural, two Edim come. That's how Tosos Chad Mikamayi writes, that it's two Edim. The Rambam has in Ilchus Yibum that Uba Ushnayim Va'am. That's such a girsa that about shnayim va'amru. So the Karenora just asked them that l'chor you don't need shnayim because even echad would be believed. But let's assume it's two edim. We'll say the highest level of evidence. Two edim came va'amru and said meis baleich, your husband died. So since when the husband left, he didn't have any children, so she should require yibum. So loti nase, she's not allowed to go get married to whoever she wants in the shuk until you know, unless you know that the tzara was pregnant or gave birth. You also can't do yibum with the husband's brother unless you know for sure that the husband didn't have any children, because maybe she was the tzara was pregnant, even though when the husband left they didn't have any children. But it could be that the tzara became pregnant and gave birth to a ben kayama, to a child that's a viable child. And if that's the case, then the husband had children, so there would be an isser of eishes achiv. You wouldn't have a mitzvah of yibum. It would be an isser to do yibum in such a situation. So the Mishnah discusses the case where the deceased husband didn't have any brothers, and there's therefore no yavam. Do you have to be choshesh that a new brother was born to the husband, meaning it was born to the husband's mother, or the husband's father, that a new brother was born? Let's say it wasn't the husband that was away by Medina Siyam only, it was the mother-in-law that was away by Medina Siyam. And when the mother-in-law went to the Medina Siyam, there were no other brothers, there were no other sons that she had. The husband didn't have any brothers. You don't have to worry that the mother-in-law gave birth to another son and therefore you're going to require yibum. Once she hears that the husband is dead, and last she knew the husband didn't have any brothers, you can assume that the husband still doesn't have any brothers. The impression you get is that even if the mother is not 70 years old, meaning even if the mother is 40 years old, and it's very shayach that she would get pregnant, you don't have to be choshesh that there was another pregnancy. Yatsa malaya, but if the mother-in-law left pregnant, then choshesh. Then you do have to be choshesh that maybe she had a child, and therefore there's going to be a requirement of yibum, because you have to be choshesh that obviously if she was pregnant that she could have given birth. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Eino choshesh. Rabbi Yeshua says you don't have to be choshesh because you have two possibilities of why they wouldn't need yibum. Number one, maybe the mother-in-law was mapil the vlad, maybe it was a miscarriage and then she wasn't able to carry, so there is no child. And even if there was a child, who says the child was a boy? It could have been a girl. So it could be that that he didn't have any brothers. He only had a sister. And therefore, there are no brothers to do Yibam. And therefore, she's mutter to marry Lashuk. She does not require Yibam in such a situation. Because since you have to be Choshesh, that Shamihi Pila, so the din should be like the case in the Reisha, where she was Yotzei Reikanis, where she went out when she was not pregnant. However, what goes unanswered is why it is that the Rabbanan are not Choshesh Shamihi Pila. Why it is that the Rabbanan are not concerned of Shamihi, meaning this seems like a pretty strong argument that Shamihi Pila, and even if the Vlad is a Vlad Ben Kayama, maybe it's a sister, maybe it's a girl. So okay, so it says the Gemara now, my heat sarasa. There seems to be an extra phrase in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a woman's husband went with the tzara to Medina Siyam, so we said lo tinase velotis yavim until you know shema mu'uberes heat sarasa. So what's the phrase heat sarasa? What's that extra expression? So hakamashman, what it's telling me is as follows: lahat tzara hu dechayshinan. It's dafka that tzara that went with the husband to Medina Siyam. You have to be choshish that maybe she became pregnant, and therefore you can't get remarried until you know whether she was pregnant or not. Avalut tzara achriti lo chashinan. But you have to be choshish that maybe while he was being Medina Siyam, he found another co-wife. He found another wife to marry, and maybe that other wife that you don't even know if she exists or not, or if there was such a thing, that maybe that wife became pregnant. No, you only have to verify that the last known wife that he had is in fact not pregnant. But in order to know that she could do Yibam, but you don't have to verify whether there was another wife or not. So we said lotinasi velotin. That's why it's heat sarasa. That the heat sarasa meaning only that sara. Now the Mishnah had said that a woman's husband goes to Medina Siyam lotinase velotis yavim. Right? We said she cannot marry anyone l'shuk because for all she knows she needs Yibam, but she cannot do Yibam because for all she knows she doesn't need Yibam. So bishlami yibum elo. I understand why you're not going to do Yibum the Dilma mi Abra the Kapaga Be'esha Sachta Raisa, because we have to be choshish that maybe the Tzara became pregnant and therefore the Yivam is going to be violating the Yisra of Eishas Ach, or the brother is going to be violating the Yisra of Eishas Ach, which is Da Raisa. So calls man that you don't know that the Tzara was not pregnant, you better not do Yibum because the Tzara might have been pregnant and this isn't the Yibum situation, so it's an Erva. Eloloti Nase Amai. But why can't we let her just get married somebody else? Halachach Rov Nashim, Rov Nashim, Misabros Vyoldos. Why is it that we're Choshesh that the Tzara was not pregnant? Shouldn't we follow a Rov? Rov women become pregnant and give birth. Most women that live a normal married life would normally have children in the context of that marriage. So if the husband left with a wife and he was living like a normal husband and wife with that wife, so shouldn't we follow the Rov and assume that there must have been a child? And if there must have been a child, so then the woman that was left behind, the wife that was left behind, is free to marry whoever she wants. So says Gemara, ooh, lema Rabbi Meir, he dechayim shel miyuta. It must be that our Mishnah is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Meir, who's choshish for a miyut, that you're right. Al pi Rov, most of the time when a couple lives happily together, lives normally together, they'll be able to have children. That is a Rov, but there is a miyut that are unable to have children. So Rabbi Meir is choshish for a miyut. Rabbi Meir holds that we're gozer, that chacham were gozer on the kutim, that they have a din of a mumar, because some of them were found to be ovdei avodah zarah. That's the original context of Rabbi Meir's statement, that they found the demos yona that they were mishtachavet to. So that was the original context that Rabbi Meir was choshish l'miyuta. So we hear also, don't let the woman get remarried, says Rabbi Meir, because we have to be choshish that a miyut of the women who become pregnant are going to be mapil as well. They're not going to be able to carry the pregnancy to full term. So says Ma'afilatim Rabbanah. No, our Mishnah might even be going like the Rabbanah who disagree with Rabbi Meir and hold that we do follow a Rov. And even though generally speaking the Rabbanah follow a Rov, over here even the Rabbanah will say she's not allowed to get remarried. Why? Kiyazin Basar Ruba. When do we say the Rabbanah follow a Rov? That's Ruba di Isa Kaman. That's when it's a Ruba di Isa Kaman, a Rov that is in front of us. Kigon Teisha Chanuyos. What's an example of a Ruba di Isa Kaman? Yeah, you find a piece of meat on the street and you're not sure which store it came from. And there are 10 stores in the neighborhood and 9 of them sell Basar basar shchuta, and one of them sells basar nevela. So then we can count the stores. We can count how many places there are that sell meat. So that's a ruba di isa kaman, that there's a clear rove in front of us that you can count the Sanhedrin, or the rove of a Sanhedrin, where we follow rove of the dayanim, that if rove of the dayanim are mezake or mechayev, we follow the rove because you can count. If there are 23 judges, you count up. There are 13 votes this way, 10 votes that way. So that's a ruba di isa kaman. That's a classic rove. So that's where the rabbanon say you follow the rove, when the rove is right in front of you. But aval ruba de lesa kaman. But a rove that's a ruba de lesa kaman. Ruba de lesa kaman is sometimes referred to in Shas as chazaka. Chazaka is a word that means like five or six different things throughout Shas, but one of them is Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Ruba de Lesa Kaman means most of the time things work that way. Not that there's that we're able to take a poll, or that we can see the numbers of it. We just know this is the way of the world, that most of the time this is the way things go. But it's not a rove that's lefanenu, it's just a metzius in the way the world works. So over here, rove nashim misabros v'yoldos is most women become pregnant and give birth, that's a ruba de lesa kaman. So lo azli rabbanon basaruba, maybe the rabbanon will not follow a rove in such a case, and therefore they will agree to Rabbi Meir that we should be choshesh for the miyut over here, that the miyut is that they won't give birth, and therefore the woman cannot get remarried because maybe the husband didn't have any children. So the Gemara says no, the rabbanon follow rove even in a ruba de lesa kaman. Vare katanu ketana the ruba de lesa kaman. He vows rabbanon basaruba, don't make such a chilik between a ruba because you have a case of a Yavama that's a Katana that faces a Yibum situation, or a Yavam Katan that faces a Yibum situation, where you have to be Choshesh. Maybe the Katana is an islandist, maybe the Katan is a Sris. That's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman that they're not, right? It's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman that most women are not an islandist, most men are not a Sris. And nevertheless, Vasi Rabban Basruba, the Rabban follow a Rove in that case as well. So you see that the Rabban follow Rove even when it is a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Which brings us back to our original statement that our Mishnah that is not following the Rove must be assuming like Rabbi Meir, who is Choshish Lemiyuta. So the Gemara explains, what are we talking about with a Katan and a Katana? Titanya. Katan, if you have a Katan that faces a Yibum situation, Ketana, or you have a Katana that faces a Yibum situation, Lo Choltim Lo Miyabim, Divra Meir. Meir says, you cannot do Chalitza or Yibum. Amr Lo Meir, so the Chum said back to Meir, Yava Martashin Choltim. I get that as a Katan or a Katana, you cannot do Chalitza, because Ish Ksiv Baparsha. It says in the parsha of Chalitza, "Vim lo yachbutz ha'ish lekachas zivimto." Right? So we darshin an ish patters a woman from Chalitza with a Chalitza patters a woman and makes it that she no longer needs yibum. But a katan does not have the ability to make a Chalitza. So a yavama that's a gedola that faces a yavam who's a katan is not going to be patter with a Chalitza. And therefore umakshina nisha l'ish. If a katan is not going to be good enough to be able to do Chalitza, neither will a Kitana, right? Because we make a hekesh between Isha and Ish. So says the Rabban to Rameir, I get that a katan or a katana cannot do chalitza, but why could a katan or a katana not do yibum? What would be the problem with them doing yibum? It doesn't say ish in the context of yibum, it only says ish in the context of chalitza. So Rameir responds to the Rabbanon, katan shemi yimatzei saris, because a katan can't do yibum because we're choshish that maybe he's going to be a saris who's not able to have children, and a katana shemi timatzei islandist, maybe she's going to turn out to be an islandist. And after all, the pasuk says that the whole purpose of yibum is lahakim liachiv shame. So Swiss and islandists are not balei hakamas shame. They're not people who are able to produce a shame for the deceased brother because they're not able to have children. So since they can't do yibum, there is no mitzvah of yibum. And if there's no mitzvah of yibum, then it's just stam. The guy's wife is sleeping with his brother. And that's eishes achiv shalom makom mitzvah. That would be absolutely terrible. For Rabbanan Savri and the Rabbanan say, nah, zil basaru, but the Ketanim, Verov Ketanim, Lav Sri Sininu. You look at the majority of Ketanim are not a Sris, Zilbas are Rov Ketanos, Lav Islandis Ninu, and the majority of Ketanos are not an Islandis, and therefore you follow the Rov, you're not Choshesh for the Miyot. So that's the context where we see that the Chachamim are willing to follow the Rov and not be Choshesh for the Miyot, even on Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Sris, Islandis, that's not a Ruba de Isa Kaman, that's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. and we're still following the Rov. So the Gemara finishes off the Kasha. So we're back to square one, that the Mishnah must be following Rabbi Meir. Because you see that the Kadar and Katana are able to do Yibum according to the Rabban, that we don't have to worry that maybe there is Swiss or an islandist. So this Rov is a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. It's a Rov that's in the world, and the Rabban view that as a real Rov. So why does it say in our Mishnah, Loti Nasei, after all, Rov Nashim are Misabros Violdo, so shouldn't that be enough to allow the woman to get remarried? No, it must be that we're assuming, like Rabbi Meir, that you don't follow a Rov. So says Gemara, B'mayu Kimta, Rabbi Meir. So we said that the ratio of the Mishnah says Lo Tinase follows Rabbi Meir, but then Ema Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah goes on to say Haisala Chamas, that if there was a mother-in-law that went out to Medina Siam, and when she went out to the Medina Siam, she didn't have any other children other than the husband of this woman, so then she's allowed to get remarried. Ena Choshesha. So you don't have to worry that the mother-in-law had another son. So if our Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir, Amai, why don't you have to worry that the mother-in-law had another son? Maybe there was another son, and therefore the woman really needs Yibum, and you can't let her get remarried to somebody else. Meaning, if you're really following Shitas Rav Meir, so just like you're following the Miut, that when the husband went with another wife, you have to be Choshish for that Miut, that they did not have another child. So too, when the mother-in-law went away, you have to be Choshish for the Miut, that she did have another child. So the Gemara explains, how is it that that it's a miut of a situation where the mother-in-law had a child that would create a chiyuv yibum? Halachah Rav Nashim. Rav Nashim is Abos Vyoldos. Well, first of all, most women do get pregnant and have babies. Miut mapilos. However, a minority of them are not able to carry the pregnancy and they have a miscarriage. And among those that actually, so let's say it's 5% miscarriage rate. So of 100% of women who get pregnant, let's say 5% miscarry. The vibe probably should be so low. Let's say 5% miscarry. So especially in those days, probably it was closer to, 30% miscarry. So then you have 70% of the women that actually have babies. We call the oldest Mexican Zachar and Mexican Nekevos. Of the 70% that have babies, half of them are Zachar and half of them are Nekevos. So for every 100 pregnancies, you end up with 35 zecharim. That's a miut. Smoke miut to mapilos the next to nekevos. Take the miut that are mapil and put that next to the half that are nekevos. Vavle zecharim miut, and therefore you're left with the miut of zecharim. So velechosh. And since in our Mishnah Rameir's choshish lemiuta, we should be choshish that maybe the mother-in-law had a male child, and therefore you need yibum. So why did the Mishnah say that we're not choshish? Meaning, once we've established that the first part of the Mishnah has to be following Rameir, because the first part of the Mishnah is being choshish lemiuta. So the Gemara says, how come the second part of the Mishnah is not Choshish Lemiyuta, is not following Rav Meir? So answers the Gemara, Dilma Kimdis Chazkul Lashuk Lo Chayish. Maybe since up until now the mother-in-law did not have another child, she was, so the woman was Becheskas Hetzel Lashuk, meaning this married woman was Becheskas that if her husband dies, that she will not require Yibam. So you know, Rav Meir is not going to be Choshish for a Miyut when it's against the Chazaka. Meaning, if not only do you have a Rove working in favor of the woman being able to get remarried, but she also has a chazaka on her side, that she was becheskas, that she didn't have any brothers-in-law. So maybe the two of those work together in order to allow her to get remarried. So ask the Gemara, if a mayor is choshish for a chazaka, so reisha this chazik liibum tiabim. So then in the case of the reisha, where the husband and the tzara went in the Medina Sayyam, you should not allow yibum. Why does he say you do yibum? Since it was this chazik liibum, the woman was becheskas, that she did require yibum. So if the husband went without any children to Yabim, we should allow them to do Yibum because she had a chazaka that she had to do Yibum. So the Gemara is asking, in the din of the Reisha, when the husband and the Tzara went to the Medina Sayyam, where we said Lotus Yabim, what the Gemara is asking now is, why did we say Lotus Yabim? We should say that you have a chazaka. We said Lotus Yabim, why? Because you're worried about the miut, that there's a miut chance. There's a miut chance that the tzara had a baby, and therefore you can't do yibum. But wait, she was becheskas that she would require yibum. So shouldn't you take the rove chance that she does need yibum and put that next to the chazaka that she needs yibum and therefore require yibum? So answers the Gemara: Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Reisha di Isser Kares Chashu, Seifa di Isser Lav Lo Chashu. That when it comes to the Reisha, which was the husband and the tzara went to Medina Siam, Yibam. So even though she has a chazaka that she requires Yibam, but to be matir the Yibam, what you're actually being matir is an Isser Karis. Meaning by telling this woman you're allowed to do Yibam, you're telling her that I'm willing to take the chance that this is not a violation of Eishes Achiv. Eishes Achiv is an Isser Karis. So that we have to be choshesh for the miyut, even when it's up against a rove and a chazaka. We can't just allow a Yibam to happen. It's too high risk of a situation. But the Seifa, where she had a mother-in-law, where it's not an Isser Karis, the worst that you're going to allow is that you're going to allow her, you're going to be matir her Lashuk. That's an Isser Lav. Yivam Lashuk is only an Isser Lav. It's Losia Eishes Hameis HaChutzu LeIshzar. So that you can rely on the rove and the chazaka together to team up against the miyut, and you don't have to be choshesh that maybe the mother-in-law is pregnant, then you can therefore say that we could be matir her Lashuk. So Amarava Michti, but wait a second. Hadaraisa, Hadaraisa. All of a sudden you start distinguishing between different levels of Daraisa. The Isra of Yivam Lashuk is an Isra Daraisa. The Isra of Eishes Achiv is an Isra Daraisa. Okay, in Echinami, Yivam Lashuk is only a Lav and Eishes Achiv is a Karis. But they're both Daraisas. Mali Isra Karis, Mali Isra. Right, we know that when it comes to Savik Daraisa, we say Savik Daraisa L'chomer. Savik Darabanu, we say Savik Darabanu L'kula. All of a sudden we're making such distinctions between an Isra Karis and an Isra Lav. Why does the Onesh matter when it comes to matters of Suffolk when we're not sure which way to go? So really, the Kasha, the Gemara, goes back to how we started, that the Seifa said that if she had a mother-in-law, that you don't have to be choshish, and that she can get remarried. You don't have to be choshish. The mother-in-law had another boy, and she's allowed to get remarried. Why not? Why don't I have to be choshish for the miyut? We're playing with a Doraisa over here of Yivam Lashuk. Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, no, really, our Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, and we are choshesh lemiyuta. Aye, how do we distinguish between the Reisha and the Seifa? Reisha chazaka liyibum veruba lashuk v'chazaka lo adiv kiruba da'aisi miyuta de mapilos smoch l'chazaka v'avle palga upalga v'lotinasiv v'lotisyavim. That in the case of the Reisha, where the husband and the tzara went to Medina Siam, you're choshesh for the miyut, and you ask them to get married, right? Meaning you're choshish for the miyut that the tzara had a child, and therefore the woman is not able to do yibum. Why? Because you follow the chazaka. The chazaka is, if you'd follow the chazaka would tell you that she needs a yibum, because when the husband went to Medina Siam, he didn't have any children. So she's becheskas that she needs a yibum. And if you were to follow the rove, that rove women get pregnant and have children, so then you wouldn't be able to do a yibum. So you'd be you would allow her to marry to the shuk, because the rove would tell us that the husband has children, and therefore she's muteris l'shuk. The chazaka lo adiv kiruba. The chazaka is not as chashuv as a rove. A rove is always better than a chazaka. See, even though the chazaka would require yibum, since the rove would prohibit yibum, she can't do yibum. Now, why? Okay, so good. So she can't do yibum. So let her get married. Let her be matir l'shuk. So the reason she's not allowed to get remarried, even though mitzad the rove nashim misabos v'yoldos, she should be allowed to get married. Vaisi miyuta de mapilos. You do have to take into account the miyut of women that are mapil, and therefore maybe they denied it. The husband never had a child, and really she needs a yibum and smoke the chazaka, and put that next to the chazaka that the husband left without any children. She should need a yibum. Sable palgo palgo. So when you're mitzaref the chazaka with the miut on the one side against the rove on the other side, and the chazaka tells you that she needs yibum, and that stands against the rove, mimele there's no rove that's mati her to get remarried. But on the other side of things, the chazaka and the miut against the rove tell you that she needs a yibum, and on the right, meaning on the one side you have the chazak and the rove telling you she needs a yibum, and the rove tells you that she's allowed to get remarried. So you have a case of 50-50. So lo tinase velo tisyavim. So we're frozen, we're stuck, we're right in the middle. You can't let her get remarried, and you can't let her do a yibum. That's what's going on in the reisha. That ain't a chinami ruba v'chazaka. Normally ruba is adif, but we have a concept of smoch miyuta lechazaka, that you take the miyut, you team it up with the chazaka, and now it becomes a 50-50 between the rove and the chazaka. So you're stuck. But Seifa, Nisseifa, we allow her to get remarried, because when the mother-in-law left, without any children, Chazaka Lashok. The Chazaka was that she'd be Muteris Lashok, because there were no brothers, there was no Yavam. Viruba Lashok, and the Rove also would tell you that she'd be Muteris Lashok, because the Rove again is that the mother did not have a healthy baby boy, either 50% baby girl, and the chance that that she was Mapil. So the Rove will tell you that there was no baby boy. The Chazaka is that there was no baby boy, Vavli Zachor, Miyuta to Miyuta, and that therefore makes the possibility that the husband has a brother a Miyuta to Miyuta, Miyuta to Miyuta, L'chai Shem Meir. And Reb Meir is not going to be Choshesh for a Miyuta to Miyuta. Even if he's going to be Choshesh for a Miyuta, he's not going to be Choshesh for a Miyuta to Miyuta. So that is how Rava reconciles the Reisha with the Seifa, that although it's not only about Rov and Miyuta, if we're only about Rov and Miyuta, then you would have a Stira, but you have to take into account which direction the Chazaka arrow points. If the Chazaka arrow is in favor of the Miyut, so then it's going to be a 50-50. If the Chazaka arrow is in favor of the Rove, then that's obviously going to be, it's going to push things in that direction. Now, one of the things we said in the Gemara was that if the mother-in-law was pregnant, so you don't have to be Choshesh, that maybe she gave birth to a son, and that there is a Yavam, and Rove Nashim Misavos Yoldos is a even though Rove Nashim Misavos Yoldos, so there's a Miyut that are Mapilos, and of those who give birth, it's 50-50. So you take the Miyut of the Mapilos and the Mechts of Nekevos, and the Zecharim are therefore a Miyut. It's based on that the Rokeach has the famous Kula, that he allows an Ashes Kohen who's pregnant to go into an Oel HaMeis. Meaning, let's say a Mrs. Kohen is pregnant, so she has a Kohen's baby inside of her. Is she allowed to go into an Oel HaMeis? So, Svek Sveka, says Rokeach. Suffolk, maybe it's a Zachar, and maybe it's a Nekevos, that's 50-50. And even if it is a Zachar, maybe it's a Nefel, and therefore it's a Svek Sveka, and she's allowed to go into an Oel HaMeis, meaning it's the same Svek Sveka as we have by the mother-in-law over here. Then maybe she's going to be Mapil, and even if she's not Mapil, maybe it's going to be a Nekeva. However, the Rokeach is a little bit difficult to understand, because he's Matya, the Eishes Kohen, an Oel HaMeis, only based on Svek Sveka. So the Poskim point out, Magen Avram writes in Or HaChaim, Simshin Mem Gimel, that l'chora, there's a better reason to be matir, and that is that this is tuma balua, that this is not even the baby's not out, so the baby can't become tameh when he's completely absorbed inside of the mother's womb. It's not possible that the baby would become tameh. So the Radvaz writes that from the pashtus of since it's so obvious, Magen Avraham's taina so obvious against the Rokeach, it must be that the Rokeach was talking about a woman who's already mid childbirth, that the baby's head is half out already, and that's why the baby's becoming tummy. That is quite an ukimta for the Rokeach to leave out such a detail. So that's what the Achronim struggle with this issue. Rav Shachter's old piece in Sefer Bikvei Atzon, where he deals with this issue. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah that the husband and the tzara go to Medina Siam, lo tinase velo tisyavim, that the woman that was left behind is not allowed to get remarried, nor is she allowed to do yibum until you know whether the tzara was pregnant. So ask the Gemara, uli olam, she's never going to be able to get remarried? Why does she have to wait until she knows if the tzara was pregnant? Even if the tzara was pregnant, she should be able to do chalitza and be mutaris l'shuk, mimanavshuk. If the tzara had a baby, she's mutaris l'shuk anyway. If the tzara didn't have a baby, she shouldn't be allowed to do chalitza. So let her do chalitza with the husband's brother. Why should the olam? You're always going to be concerned. Maybe the tzara became pregnant. Even if she did, I should be mutter b'chalitza. So amr ziiri la'atzma. I'm sorry, la'atzma shlosha chadashim. L'chaverta tisha b'chalatzas mimanavshach. So ziiri explains, the Mishnah doesn't mean that she's never allowed to get remarried. No, it means that when she doesn't have a tzara and she's waiting because of the suffix, that maybe she herself is pregnant, meaning the husband left, there was no tzara, the only one that might be pregnant is herself, so you wait 3 months to see if she's pregnant or not. We assume 3 months is when it's hukar ubra, that a woman is going to realize after 3 months, even if she's carrying in a way where it's not so obvious, where her pregnancy is not so obvious. 3 months, she'll have a little baby bump, she'll realize that she's pregnant. L'chaverta, but if there was a tzara, and you have to be choshish that maybe the tzara had a baby, then tisha, then you wait 9 months, because if the tzara was pregnant, then she for sure would have a child by then, and the vlad would pater you from chalitza v'chaletzis manavshach. And then after 9 months, you could do a chalitza, because if the tzara was not pregnant, so then you need a chalitza, and you're doing a chalitza. If the tzara was pregnant, so then you mutar shuk anyway. You don't even need a chalitza. And that's what it means. Lotinasi. Lotinasi means until 9 months, and then you do a chalitza. Tinasi l'shuk. Rabbi Chanina Amar.
Not like Ze'iri. Rabbi Chanina says, I disagree. Liatzma shlosha, you're right that if the only concern is herself, because there is no tzara, and she just needs to know if she's pregnant, Ze'iri's right. 3 months. But lechaverta, liolam, v'tachlos manavshach. When there is a tzara, you have to be choshesh that maybe the tzara gave birth, and she's asur to do the chalitza and get married until you forever, until you know whether the tzara gave birth. So ask the Gemara, but v'tachlos manavshach, I don't get it. Why would that be the case? Let her be do the chalitza mi. Let her be muteris l'inasi l'shok, because if the tzara did give birth, she's pater from Yibum, because there's a baby, and if the tzara did not give birth, so let her do a chalitza. Sans Gemara, Abaye Barav and Rabbi Chinin Barav and Amri Tarvayu, they both explained that the reason she can't do chalitza is gzeira shamiyei vlad ben kayama nimtzata matzrich l'karuz l'kuhuna. No, the concern is that we have to be choshish that maybe the tzara is going to give birth to a viable child, and therefore it will turn out that this woman does not require a chalitza, and now, based is going to have to announce that the chalitza was an invalid chalitza because the whole chalitza was unnecessary and therefore she's muteris l'kuhuna. So normally when you do a chalitza, so the whole world knows that this chalitza is not allowed to marry a kohen. But in this case, you're going to have a situation where she didn't really need a chalitza because the vlad was a ben kayama. The tzara had a child. The husband had a child before he died, so she's not going to really need a chalitza. So you did a chalitza unnecessarily. If you did a chalitza unnecessarily, necessarily, you're going to have to make a big announcement that she's muteris l'kuhuna. So says Mar, really? So you're going to keep a woman in aguna and not do a chalitza? Because if you do a chalitza, you might have to announce afterwards that she's muteris l'kuhuna? So let's recha. So why would you ask her to do chalitza? Because you're going to have to make an announcement. Let her do a chalitza, and if later on we discover that there was a child there, good, so we'll make an announcement that she's kasha l'kuhuna. Right? How many times does shul send out modified announcements, right? You know, so they announced in the announcement, mazel tov on Mrs. so-and-so for having a chalitza. So then, modified announcements. No, she didn't really have a chalitza. She's still muteres l'kuhuna. So answers the Gemara that the gzeira not to do chalitza is because Dilma ikat havi b'chalitza v'lo havi b'achraza. Because who reads the modified announcements, right? I mean, very often people have the patience to read the first announcement, but they're not going to read the correction. So Amri kashar chalitza l'kohen. And they're going to think that we're allowing a chalitza to marry a kohen, because they're going to think this woman is a chalitza when she's not really a chalutza, and they're going to see that she's allowed to marry a kohen, and they're going to come to be matir a chalutza to a kohen. So the Gemara asks from a Mishnah that we see that we're not choshesh about announcing about a chalutza. We rely on announcements. Tanan, the Mishnah says in Daf Kuf Yuchasim Beis that a woman who went with her husband to Medina Siyam, and they didn't have any children when they left, nitan li ben b'Medina Siyam, if she comes back and says that I had a child b'Medina Siyam, va'amra meis b'ni v'achar kach b'ayli, and she says my son died first, and then my husband died, and therefore I require Yibum. Ne'emetis, we believe her that her son died first, and then her husband died, and that she needs Yibum. But meis ba'li v'achar kach b'niv, she says, my husband died first, and then my son died, and therefore I'm muteris l'shuk. It's not a Yibum situation, because at the time that my husband died, we had a child. Ain't an emetis. She's not believed, and she's not allowed to marry l'shuk. V'chosh l'dvra, v'choletes, v'lomis yamemes. And but she's also not allowed to do Yibum, because we're choshish that maybe she's telling the truth. Maybe Taka, the son died first and then the husband, and therefore she can only do Chalit, so she cannot do Yibum. So ask the Gemara, why, if she says that her husband died first and then the son died, is she allowed to do Chalitza? Maybe Edom are going to come and tell us that she was telling the truth, and it turns out she didn't really need chalitza. And if she didn't really need chalitza, v'nimtza ata matzricha karuz l'kuna. Now we're going to have to go announce that she's allowed to marry a kohen. So apparently we're not worried about that. Apparently that's okay. Meaning, okay, we'll take the risk that we're going to have to announce that she's allowed to marry a kohen. So why over here in our case are we so concerned? We're not going to let the, we're going to freeze the woman. We're not going to let her do a chalitza because we're afraid that that we're going to have to announce that she's allowed to marry a kohen. So Rav Papa begrusha, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a woman who was a grusha already, so she was already pasul l'kuhuna, and therefore there is no chashash that we're going to have to make an announcement that she's allowed to marry a kohen because she was a grusha from a previous marriage, so she's anyway already asura to a kohen. Rav Chibri Rifuna Amar ba'amra ani b'hu nechpanu b'ma'ara, that maybe the Mishnah is dealing with a case where she says there is no chance that anybody is ever going to come and verify one way or the other, because it was me and my husband hiding in a cave with our newborn child And that's where they all died, and there was no one else with us. So you don't have to worry that Edom are going to come, but maybe in a chinami, that in a case where you do have to worry that Edom are going to come and clarify things, then you have to worry that you're going to have to make a karaz l'kuhuna, you're going to have to announce that she's mitaraz l'kohen, and we're not comfortable doing that, and therefore that's how it ends, that in fact we're concerned about that. Okay, new mission now. So the Mishnah had said, back on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, that there are five women that cannot be believed about Meis Baila, right? The five women that she has contentious relationships with, that's what we learned in Shabbos's Daf. So in each case, the Kilkul is something else. That they'll be made sheker for different reasons. So our Mishnah talks about a woman whose husband died without any children and needs to do Yibum with her husband's brother, and the Yavama, who is the wife of the husband's brother, is made that the Yavam died. So because the Yavam doesn't like this woman, so Rechoshish, that maybe she's telling something that's not true just to mess up the other person. So when the Yavam returns, she's going to be Asura to him, like Rav Hamnuna said back in the Psadi Vav, that a Shomeris Yavam, that Zinsa is Asura Liyavama, because someone who's Zukukalis Yavim is considered like an Ashes Ish of the Yavam. When she marries someone else and she's Mizana, she becomes Asur on the Yavam. So now the Mishnah discusses cases of Eidos of one of these five women where they're not going to be believed. So let's say you have Shtei Yavamos. You have two women that are married to two different brothers, to two brothers, and they don't have any children. So they're considered like Yavamos to each other, that if one of their husbands were to die, so then they would need Yibum with the husband of the other woman. So Zuomeris Meisba, one of the women says, my husband died, and therefore I want to be able to get remarried. Vizuo meres meis baili, and the other woman also says, my husband died, so I want to be able to get remarried. So zua asura mipnei baila shel zu. The first one is asur to get married to anybody, because we have to be choshesh that the second one's husband is still alive, and therefore she needs yibum. Vizuo asura mipnei baila shel zu. And the second woman is not mutaris l'shuk, because you have to be choshesh that the first one's husband is still alive, and therefore she needs yibum. Because in order to be matter these women to get married, you need eidos that the husband died and eidos that the yavam died as well. That's the only way she could be muteris l'shuk, because her husband has to be dead for her to get remarried, and her brother-in-law has to be dead for her husband to get remarried. Now, each one who says meis baili, they're believed about themselves that their own husband died, but in that eidos is also, and your yavam died, right? Each one is saying, my husband died, which means your yavam died, but these are two yavamos that are not believed about each other. So while they would be believed to say that their own husband died, they would not be believed to say your yavam died. Another case where two women are married to two brothers and don't have any children. Luzu edim, luzu ein edim. Let's say one of these women have edim that the husband died. So that is with certitude, we're absolutely certain that Reuven died. But Shimon, there were no edim that the husband died. Only his wife was saying that he had died. So esh yeshla edim, the one who has edim that her husband died, is asura. She's not allowed to get married Lashuk, because as far as she knows, her brother-in-law is still alive. The only eidos that she has that the brother-in-law is dead is the brother-in-law's wife, but the brother-in-law's wife hates her, so the brother-in-law's wife is not believed to say that her husband's brother is dead. But ironically, the woman that does not have edim that her own husband died is muteres. She's muteres shuk, because about her own husband she's believed, and about the other woman's husband, her yavam, there are two edim, so she's going to be muteres l'shuk. A third case, lezu banim, lezu ein banim. Let's say one of these women have children from the husband, and the other one, there are no edim that he died. It's just she's meyer that he died, and the other one does not have any children, and also there are no edim. So each one is saying my husband died, but one of them has children, the other one does not. So es she yesh labanim, the woman who has children is muteres. She's muteres l'shuk, because every woman is believed to say that her husband died, and she's not in the yibum situation because she has children. So therefore she's muteres l'shuk. The eshein labanim, but the one who does not have children, asura, is asura l'shuk, because she's believed to say that her husband died, but she might still have a brother-in-law, and the only eidos that we have that her brother-in-law is dead is from the brother-in-law's wife, who hates her, so we cannot rely on the brother-in-law's eidos. So that is a third circumstance. Now the Mishnah brings a fourth circumstance where two women were married to two brothers. So two women married to two brothers, they don't have any children, and there were no eidos. Meidin that either of these men died. Each one is just Meid that their own husband died, but there are two other brothers that could do Yibum. So for that, you don't need Eidos that the Yavam is dead, only Eidos of themselves that the husband died, and then they're able to do Yibum with whichever Yavam is still around. So Nisyabmu, if they both, these women went and did Yibum with the two surviving brothers, meaning they were originally four brothers, these two women were married to two of the brothers. Each one then claimed that each of their husbands died. So that was enough to require them to do Yibum. It would not be enough to be Mata them Lashuk, especially since there were two surviving brothers here. So they each went and did Yibum. And then Vemesua Yivamun, then these other Yivamun also died without any children. So then Asurusli Nase, they're still not allowed to get married Lashuk because they still don't know that all four brothers died. Meaning each woman could say, I know my husband died. I know that these two other guys that were left behind that we just did Yibum with died. But I still am not sure about the other woman's original husband. My only evidence that he died was her say-so, but she hates me. And the same legabe the other woman. So they would still be asul l'shuk. Rabbi Elazar amar hol hutru l'yivamin, hutru l'kol adam. Rabbi Elazar says, no, that last case we don't pass like says Rabbi Elazar. Since we already relied on the edus of those women to allow them to do yibum, so then we assume, once we allowed them both to do yibum, that was a definitive statement that Reuven and Shimon are dead, that Reuven and Shimon are both dead, because we allowed both wives to do Yibum. So we're not going to come back after Levi and Yehuda die and say, ooh, Mrs. Shimon has to be Choshesh that Reuven's still alive, and Mrs. Reuven has to be Choshesh that that Shimon is still alive. No, we allowed both Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon to do Yibum. Once we allowed that, then there's no discussion that maybe somebody is still alive. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Gemara, same time as Hashem tomorrow at 5:30. Thank you so much again for accommodating the unusual schedule, and thank you for your patience in my lack of preparedness for today's daf. Okay, have a great day, everybody.